We're going to talk about business, and if you're headed to the parks and beaches over the weekend, you might have been fooled into thinking everything was somewhat back to normal. But for the retail industry, heavy restrictions still apply. The Prime Minister announced today that Auckland remains in phase one, step one of level three for another week. But retail can't open until phase two, and today's press conference gave no indication as to when we might get there. Well, Greg Harford is the Chief Executive of Retail New Zealand, and he joins us now. Kia ora, Greg.
Kia ora, good evening.
Is retail being left behind now, Greg?
Look, retail's in a pretty dire situation, Karen. We've got a third of retailers telling us they're not confident they're going to survive the next 12 months. No one's selling anything. It's a little bit of sales happening online, but it's no substitute for having stores open. And I think everyone's pretty fed up and frustrated with the fact that stores are still required to be closed.
So a third right round the country.
That's right around the country. The situation is worse in Auckland. Businesses in Auckland obviously have been closed for a number of weeks now, in addition to all the times that they've been closed over the last 18 months. And that's really starting to take its toll. But the impacts of the Level 3 lockdown in Auckland are being felt nationally, because Auckland is ultimately the engine room of the economy. And normally at this time of year, there'd be lots of Aucklanders travelling about and spending up in the shops.
Yes, and then we heard in the news just now, today, the South Island border idea, but that idea promoted by epidemiologists Nick Wilson and Rod Jackson, but that's been described as a final nail in the coffin, for example, for Queenstown businesses.
So, yeah, and look, it's a tough call as to how you manage that. I know businesses I'm talking to in the South Island are telling me that they feel held back by the fact that they've still got level two restrictions in place. It's not normal business for them. But at the same time, everyone down there wants to stay safe and stay COVID-free. So it is a little bit challenging. It's a little bit difficult to work through. But I think, you know, one of the things that the government could usefully do to help here is to set a date by which, people can go and get vaccinated and then be really clear about when they're going to start lifting restrictions, because that will help drive the right behaviour in terms of vaccinations.
You were going to be talking to a business in Sydney soon, because they've got their big Freedom Day today, of course, and they had a date, I believe. There was a date set for them, so they could work towards it. But, the thing we're hearing, though, from the government is that we don't have a crystal ball at the moment. So we're all in this kind of limbo land, aren't we, which is no help to your members, of course.
No, well, that's right. And, of course, it's really frustrating for businesses who are working really hard to try and stay afloat, frankly, not to have clarity about how long this situation's going to go on for. Now, I appreciate it is difficult because it's an evolving situation and no one's in complete control of what's happening with the virus. But vaccination is the key pathway out of this. The more certainty I think the government can give everyone around what that vaccination timetable looks like, the better. And really, I'm calling for the government to make sure businesses have the tools to be able to put policies to keep people safe in their businesses. So whether that's a vaccination requirement or a testing requirement or a temperature checking requirement or whatever the situation is, businesses need to be able to put policies in place to provide for these things without the fear of a disgruntled employee or an anti-vax employee going to the Employment Relations Authority and seeking a personal grievance.
Some sort of legislation, and that they can't work if they're not vaxxed.
Well, no, I mean, I think it needs to be up to every individual business to make its own assessment about whether that's required. But if a business makes that assessment, at the moment, they need to go through a very complicated, lengthy process in order to do that. There are potential legal pitfalls for them, and really businesses need to be protected against employees trying to take a PG around these issues.
So you said a third of retail businesses look like they won't survive for the next year. So, from your members, what kind of businesses are we talking here? The ones that are really looking, the ship is sinking.
Yeah, we are talking about retail businesses across the board. There are many that have, in fact, closed their doors and folded over the last year or so as COVID's hit. I think particularly in the tourist space, those businesses are either gone or have pivoted into something else. Really, we're talking to people all the time, whether that's clothing shops or specialty food shops or whatever the situation is. People are really, really hurting out there, and they've incurred a lot of debt. The government support that's there is just not enough to keep businesses afloat. They're looking in some cases to lay staff off or reduce opening hours if they're lucky enough to be allowed to open. It's a really, really difficult situation.
Yeah, I can imagine, because I was thinking, as a lot of people, when they see all these businesses that are closed, well, wage subsidy is one thing, but paying your rent, if you've got a commercial premises, how are businesses managing to pay their rent, or are they?
Oh, look, from what I hear, many are not. Some have been trying to negotiate with their landlords. The government is in the process of regulating or putting in place legislation looking forward to provide for rent relief if there are future lockdowns, but that doesn't help what's happened over the last 8 to 9 weeks or so. There's costs involved in utilities. There's all sorts of costs that just aren't covered by the government support. And, there's lots of businesses that may not qualify even for the wage subsidy, but are really, really hurting. To hit the wage subsidy threshold, you've got to be 30% down in your business compared to the relevant period. But the average net margin in retail is something like 3.7%. So even if you're 29% down, you're still in a really precarious position and you won't qualify for government support.
Right. So you may, if you've got the wage subsidy, you may be able to do that. You may be able to give yourself a little bit of money, but I imagine that a lot of small businesses aren't giving themselves anything. And then they have this gaping hole in the finances, which is to pay the rent. So, that really is a week-by-week situation. And over the last 7 weeks, for example, there must be plenty of businesses in debt or trying to borrow money to just stay afloat.
Oh, I think that's very true. Businesses are definitely taking on debt. Owners, in many cases of businesses, will be personally liable for the debts of their business and for paying the rents in particular. So those are personal guarantees that can be called on. And ultimately, that could mean that business owners lose their homes if it all goes pear-shaped for them.
Yes, so frustration is really too light a word, isn't it? I imagine there's a lot worse than that.
Yeah, look, people we're talking to in Auckland in particular at the moment are really deeply unhappy. We've seen a big turnaround in the way our members are viewing the government's response to COVID. There's been fairly broad support, right the way through until this latest round of lockdowns. But now 70% of members are telling us that they're dissatisfied with the government's response to COVID-19.
So you're not saying you wanted to see, say, for example, Auckland. You didn't necessarily want to see Auckland enter step two this week, but what you wanted to see was a date. Well, you wanted to know when it was going to happen.
Yeah, look, I think there was a lot of expectation that we were going to go into step two of the roadmap this week. That was certainly everyone's hope.
But was there really, though? I mean, given the numbers.
Yeah, I mean, I think those hopes were probably evaporating over the last couple of days, but last week there was a degree of optimism about that. But what's really important is that we have a sense of how long this is going to last. I mean, I think the government's indicated it could be another 6 to 8 weeks in the current situation. That is just going to be too long for many businesses.
So what's going to happen then? I mean, realistically, you're going to go down a main street and see half the shops closed and never to open again.
Well, I really hope not, because of course, if we're falling into sort of an economic recession as businesses are closing, it's going to be harder for more businesses to fill those places. So it is certainly really very difficult, and there's a whole lot of other things going on that could impact retail over the next 12 to 24 months as well. As interest rates go up, consumers will have less money in their pockets to get out and spend. If house prices plateau off or potentially even start to fall away, there will be people who consumers who are hurt by that, and all of that will have hugely negative impacts on retail, quite aside from anything that's happening in relation to COVID.
So what are you able to do for your members? Just basically listen to them?
Well, look, we're there to listen
and lobby.
To help. We're providing a whole range of advice to retailers around some of the situations that they're in. One of the specialty things we do is provide HR advice out to the retail community and help them with things like consultation processes around redundancies and vaccination policies and so forth. But more importantly, our job is there to speak up on behalf of the sector and let government know what's going on and seek government support.
Now, this is a pretty harsh text, but I'll read it to you anyway and get your response from it. Hi, Karen. I get sick of the bleeding hearts from business sectors. How many lives are they happy to sacrifice for a business to survive? How many customers? How many families? Businesses have been given much more support than the bottom 75%. That comes from Steve in Wellington. That's a pretty harsh response to what you've just said.
Yeah, and look, I think I need to be really clear. Nobody wants anyone to get sick as a result of COVID-19, and nobody's wanting anyone to die. But I think the reality is that what we've seen over the last 8 weeks is that lockdowns have not actually been effective really at stopping the spread of COVID. They may have slowed it down a little bit, but if you look at the expansion of the Level 3 areas into Northland and Waikato, it really hasn't worked as well as perhaps it did last year. So we need to start thinking about alternative ways of doing that, and of course doing that in a way that is safe. And the reality is that if it's safe to go into a supermarket at Level 3, as long as you're wearing a mask, there's no reason why you can't also safely go into, say, another retail store, as long as you're maintaining that social distance, maintaining good hygiene and maintaining a mask.
Yeah, gee, it's interesting, isn't it? Go into a supermarket, but should you be able to go into the clothing shop next to it? And you're saying yes, with all the same restrictions.
As long as those stores can operate safely, there's no reason why they shouldn't be open. And the government itself has said that this is going to happen, because let's remember that step two of the Auckland roadmap is still Auckland at level three, but with retail open. And we really need to see that happen sooner rather than later, with precautions to keep staff and customers safe. And whether that's, as I say, a specific the specific ability to mandate vaccination policies for staff or temperature checks or whatever it is, there's a range of things that businesses can do to keep their people safe.
Can I just ask you before you go, Greg, in terms of small business around the country, so let's forget big retail, big business, who possibly can weather this, but small business around New Zealand, how many are there in this country? What are the numbers when we're talking?
Overall, the numbers are very large. Certainly in the retail sector, there's about 27,000 retail businesses, of which something like 26,500 or more will be classified as small. We're full of very small businesses in this country. They're the lifeblood of New Zealand. They keep our town centres alive. And what's often, I think, misunderstood is that they might have a franchise brand or something associated with them, but often these are businesses run by mum and dad New Zealanders or family businesses, and they just don't have the big balance sheet sitting behind them to keep them alive.
And just finally, very quickly, Doreen in Greymouth says, can you please ask your guests what businesses are doing themselves to get people vaccinated?
People I'm talking to are really, really keen to help their teams get vaccinated. There's a range of things happening. Some are putting financial incentives in place. Some are providing time off. Most are encouraging people to go out and do it. But what really would help businesses is if they were really legally able to require vaccinations for their frontline staff without facing the risk of legal action through the courts from a disgruntled employee.
Understood. Greg, well, thank you and best of luck.
Thank you very much.
That's Greg Harford, the Chief Executive of Retail New Zealand.